Welcome to Calvary Church. We hope you enjoy our latest message. For more information, you can check us out at calvarysimcoe.com or you can visit us on Facebook or Instagram.
Well, I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful that God didn't write a book, give us the Gospels where Jesus went about healing the sick and then said, well, that era is over and left us. I'm so grateful that in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we can do what Jesus did. These people agree with me. How many are grateful that we can do what Jesus did? Some of you don't believe it. In our text today, we're going to see how in the person of the Holy Spirit, we can do what Jesus did. I also just want to say in the Old Testament, we're in the New Covenant now. But in the Old Testament, they used to bring food for the Levites and the priests and get their share. And so somebody this morning brought me, it's the best food available. It's my favorite food. I think it should have its own food category, and that's marshmallow bananas. So I kind of thought, I'll receive that. Yeah, it's kind of Old Testament, but I'll go with that. Yeah. All right. We're in our series, The Holy Spirit, The Misunderstood God. Why don't you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14, and then we're going to bounce to John 15 and then John 16. If you're visiting with us, if you're new, if this is your first Sunday here, we just want to welcome you. We're so glad that you're joining us here in our gymnasium. We're thankful for those that have tuned in this morning and are watching from home. We are grateful for the renovations that are taking place in the sanctuary. And in about 7 weeks, I think it is, we'll be back there. But I'm so glad you're with us today. We just want to pray before we turn to the Word. Scott LeBlanc called me yesterday, and Scott is heading out from the service this morning. It was his wife, Petula, who sang with the team and led us so beautifully. But Scott's dad passed away in Nova Scotia, so he's going to be heading to New Brunswick. And so he's going to be heading out, going home for that. So let's just pray for Scott. Father, thank you for Scott and Petula. Thank you for their ministry in our midst. Lord, we pray that as Scott travels and as he prepares to meet his family in New Brunswick, Lord, I just pray, God, that he would know that you're with him. I pray that he would know that you're with his family and that, God, you would comfort them. That the ministry and comfort of the Holy Spirit would surround that family. And you'd give Scott. Scott is an evangelist, Lord. And I pray that you'd give him the opportunity to share with anyone that's connected with his dad. That, yeah, I'm grieving. Scott's grieving, but not as though those without hope. And I pray that you would give him, Lord. You would give him opportunities to share Christ. And I pray you'd comfort his own heart, Lord. I pray you'd come alongside him, Holy Spirit, and sustain him in this season. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John 14, the title of the message this morning is What's in a Name? You ready to hear the word of the Lord? Yeah. I'm glad that you're here and that you're hungry for God's word. John 14, verse 16 and 17. This is the Lord speaking, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, and standby. He will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he remains with you continually and will be in you. John 15, verse 26. But when the helper, the comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, and standby comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify and bear witness about me. Now, John 16, verse 5 and 7, and then 12 to 15, and I am reading from the Amplified Bible. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts and taken complete possession of them. But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby, he will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you, and he will be in close fellowship with you. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear to hear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, the full and complete truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, But he will speak and disclose to you what is to come. Whatever he hears from the Father, the message regarding the Son, and he will disclose to you what is to come in the future. He will glory and honor me because he will take from what is mine and disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Because of this, I said that he, the Spirit, will take from what is mine and reveal it to you. You know, there is a richness of teaching that took place between Jesus eating the last Passover supper, which we call the Last Supper, washing his disciples' feet, and then his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's maybe 3, maybe 4 hours that take place between them leaving the upper room and going into the garden where he's arrested. And chapter 14, 15, and 16 is that time, that gap between leaving the upper room where they ate the meal and him being arrested. Now, we break it up into chapters, but of course, there was no chapters when he was speaking. And 3 times in his speech, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the one who would come and comfort. Now, we look back on his teaching, and it's some of the richest teaching in the Bible. I mean, all of the teaching in the Bible is good, but there's a richness of what Jesus is saying to them. And yet, from their perspective, it's a time that's filled with gloom. There's anxiety. The Lord has just dropped a bombshell on them at the supper. They have been doing life together for 3 years. They've been traveling everywhere as a group of 12 and a larger group of 70-odd following the Messiah. And the Lord just dropped this bombshell. He said, one of you, one of these men that you have been connected with for 3 years, that you've done life with for 3 years, is going to betray me to my death. And before you get too haughty and proud, another one of you, Peter, is going to deny me, and the rest of you are going to just desert and leave me, because I'm actually going to be arrested, I'm going to be killed, and I'm going to rise on the third day. And what they had expected when they started to follow the Lord, what they had believed the Messiah would come to do, was looking radically different than their expectations, the way Jesus was speaking. And so, from their perspective, the future's uncertain. Everything that can be shaken is shaken. It feels like everything they had built their lives and left everything behind to build their life on is now being built on quicksand. And so Jesus starts to speak comfort to them. He starts to speak courage into them. And he's revealing. He says, I'm revealing as much as I can to you right now, but you're not going to be able to handle any more than this. But here is the main source of the comfort that I'm going to give to you. The Holy Spirit is going to come and take over for me. They couldn't see it. They couldn't understand it. Even when the Lord said, it's better that I go so he can come, they didn't understand, but Jesus was speaking courage and comfort and life into them in this moment. So it's like the Lord was saying to them, guys, I know you expected an earthly kingdom. I know you expected health, wealth, prosperity, and ruling and reigning. But he said, here's the reality. My Father's kingdom looks very different. What you believe would happen is going to be very different, but it's okay. God has a plan. God has a plan. And part of God's plan, the main player in that plan, is the coming of Holy Spirit. So what's in a name? 3 times in today's scriptures, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit. Here's the Greek word. Some of you know it. Paraclete or parakletos. And I use the Amplified Bible translation because when Jesus said, I'm going to send to you another parakletos, another paraclete, that has a number of meanings that can't just be translated into kind of one term in the English. It basically means this. It's one who comes alongside to help us. It's one who comes and stands next to us, listen to this, to bring encouragement and to courage, to strongly exhort and to comfort. It also means one who comes to cheer us up and speak in a friendly manner. Man, I love that. We're in Jesus. We're in Christ. But have you ever been in Jesus and you need a little cheering up? And the ice cream doesn't do it? The caramel macchiato doesn't do it. You ever just needed cheering up? Jesus said, I'm going to send you a paraclete, one who's going to come alongside you and walk with you. And one of the things he's going to do is cheer us up. I love that. We have a source of joy and cheer in us that the world can never take away. Amen? And so the word paraclete, in most translators use either counselor or comforter. The NIV, I think, says, I'll send you another counselor. I think other versions say comforter. Some say helper or advocate. But they all describe that word, and they all describe who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. Jesus said, he is with you, to his followers. He is with you, but he will be in you. He will be a never-ending, constantly abiding, inward supply of encouragement, help, power, and a source of direction for your life, and he will be right inside you. Now, it's amazing because the disciples had Jesus with them. They could touch him. They could hug him. They ate meals with him. They did life with Jesus. It doesn't get much closer than that, except that Jesus said the Spirit of God will be right inside you, and it doesn't get any closer than that. So let's break out the name given here by Jesus, Paraclete. The Lord says, I will give you another counselor. So we have to assume that they already had one who came alongside them. And you and I know that that's Jesus. Jesus was their paraclete. He was their encourager, their strengthener, the one who led them into truth, the one who was with them. But he says this, he says, I'm going to give you another. And the word is allos. It means one who is just or exactly like me. So the Holy Spirit and Jesus are completely alike. So if you want to know who the Holy Spirit is, if you want to understand his nature and his personality and what he does, then read the Gospels and what you see Jesus doing, how you see Jesus responding, the priorities of Christ. That's who the Holy Spirit is. We see the Holy Spirit's nature in the life of Jesus. So that tells me that how Jesus responded to things, what he did, what he said, is how the Holy Spirit responds to those things. Come on, think about this. When the woman caught in adultery, the Lord said, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. That's what the Holy Spirit does. We talked about this last week. We're the righteousness of Christ. But it also tells me that the Holy Spirit in me is shaping me so I will respond like Jesus responds. So if I respond, if you respond, and it's not Christ-like, then it's not of the Spirit. I've seen a lot of things done in the name of Jesus that aren't done in the name of Jesus because it doesn't carry and reflect his character at all. Brother over here said amen. The rest of you should, I know it's in your heads. You're saying amen. If it doesn't reflect the character and the priorities of Jesus, then it's not Jesus. It's not the Spirit in you. It's your flesh. And so the Lord said he will live in you. That's why he said it's better to have the Holy Spirit. I've really, as we've been in this series, I've been thinking about this a lot. I can't wait till I stand before the Lord and see him face to face. Come on, who's got a little desire to see Jesus? Just to say, oh, to gaze upon him. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, while we're on this life, what we have is even better than what the disciples had while Jesus was speaking to them, because we have the Spirit of Christ right inside of us. He's right inside of us. So, everything that the Lord was to the disciples, the Spirit is inside of us. And the Lord said in John 14:12, truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and they will do even greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. The paraclete will empower you and I to do what Jesus did. He anoints and enables us supernaturally. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will be with you forever. If we love Jesus, we'll obey his commands. And the Lord said, but you're never going to do it on your own, so I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to help you do that. And this is what boggles my mind. I come before the Lord sometimes and I say, I need you, Holy Spirit, to give me the desire to walk yielded to you today. Lord, I need you, Holy Spirit. I'm just not feeling it. I'm not feeling overly hungry. I'm not feeling overly stirred in my spirit. So, Holy Spirit, you need to put a love and a hunger in me for the things of God. If I want to do anything spiritually, if I want to have any kind of hunger for the Lord, if I want to deny my flesh, it starts with yielding to the Holy Spirit. I can't even love him on my own. I can't love him on my own. I can't yield to him on my own. I can't obey him on my own. Sometimes I think from our perspective, it seems kind of pathetic. Okay, Lord, I'm waking up this morning and no one's bringing me coffee, so I'm gonna have to get my own, and I don't really want to be in your presence. I'm just tired and I'm grumpy. Holy Spirit, I need you to help me to want more of you today. Amen. And he does it. Can you imagine going to our spouses saying, you know, hey, I'm not really feeling it today. You need to help me love you today. They're going to say, like, you know, good luck with that, pal. And yet the Spirit's been given to us. The Spirit has been given to us so that we can respond to him in yieldedness, in love, and surrender. And he's not offended by it because he knows that our flesh is always gravitating back to our old person. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And I can see his disciples going, oh, shoot. But he follows it up. He says, and I will give you another, the Spirit, and he will enable you to do it. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. Come on, I said, thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. So let's break out three contexts Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as paraclete. Number one, the Holy Spirit was given to us for times when things are uncertain. The disciples are feeling uncertain. Everything is upside down. The Lord's saying crazy things like, you will not have me. You won't see me anymore. I'm returning to the Father. For them, this was crazy talk. What's he talking about? So the future was uncertain. It was unknown. It wasn't what they thought it would be. They felt as if what they had built their lives on was now just falling apart underneath them. And it's pretty comforting for you and I in our times of transition, uncertainty, upheaval, that there is one who already knows what is to come, and he's been given to me to reveal to me the way forward through all the uncertainties. I am so grateful. We're living in a time in history where we can either look at what's going on in our nation and around the world. I'm not sure I'd want to move anywhere else. Everything seems nuts right now when you look at things globally. Everything is upside down. And we can either get on YouTube and watch the news and get all freaked out, or we can say, no. I've been given the Holy Ghost for this season and this time because he knows the way forward, and he will keep me, and he will watch over me, and he will guide me. See, I don't have to listen to some YouTube prophet to tell me what I need to believe for in the coming year. It doesn't matter what happens with the economy. It doesn't matter what happens in this world, because I have the Holy Spirit who can say to me, this is the way, go forward in it. Amen. Amen. So we've been given the Holy Spirit for times when things are uncertain. He will guide. Jesus said he will guide you. Really great word he uses. This is before satellite GPS systems or even maps. If you wanted to go somewhere and you were going to a place that was uncharted for you or unknown territory, you would literally hire a guide. And you would meet with that guide. And the prerequisite for that guide would be they have already had to have gone through that terrain. They've already had to make the trip, the journey, and make it back. So you would hire that expert. You'd hire that guide. And they would know the length of time the trip would take. They would know if there's any dangers or perils. They would know the weather patterns that can happen. They would know if there's bandits and things that you need to steer clear of. And so they would help equip you. They would help you buy the equipment and get the stores and the food that you would need for the days, the weeks, the months the journey would take. They'd get you ready. But here's the thing, they didn't just get you ready and then send you on your way. They came with you. That meant that if you were in danger, they were in danger. If there was a sudden change in the weather, they were there with you, and they had already made a plan for it. And Jesus said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit, and he'll be like that guide. He will come right alongside you. He will be in you, and he will walk step by step, day by day. He will guide you into all truth. He is being given to us to make sure we can arrive at our destination, the Holy Spirit. When we are stumped and need direction, when we lack wisdom, he brings direction. His word is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. He guides us and leads us step by step. When things become unsettled and uncertain and we don't know the way forward, he will protect our destiny and lead us. We may not know the way through the dark, but he sees clearly. He sees clearly. He is with you, mom and dad, as you raise your children. I am so grateful that I didn't have to raise my children on my own. After we had our first one, we thought, now we've got it down. Now we know what we're doing. Oh. And then I discovered something, that within the rules and the parameters, within the boundaries that we had that were standard for everyone in our home, Each of our children was different. The Lord gave us kids that were different. We had to deal with each one of them differently. How many know that's true? You think you have it down, then the Lord gives you the one that you think, like, did the stork really bring this kid? Because it shows no pattern of our past kids. And the Lord gave us wisdom. The Lord gave us wisdom how to navigate that. I am so grateful that in our marriages, in our parenting, in our grandparenting, we're not left alone to figure it out. We can raise our children with the Holy Spirit's help. I'm so grateful that he'll help us invest our money. When we were selling homes, Jackie would go to prayer and get a number. And there was times real estate agents said, that number, it'll never happen. You can't sell it for that. And she'd go, this is what you're going to list it for. And it would sell for that. I remember our last home before we moved here, we needed a miracle. And we said, this is what we need in order to just, unless I'm going to commute every day from Sarnia, every day to Simcoe, this is what we need for the house, and we need it by this date. And even before it was listed, it was sold for what we asked. Why? Because my wife got a word from the Holy Spirit. She got a word from the Holy Spirit. I'm grateful the Holy Spirit's with us. He was sent by the Father for the very purpose of being our guide, helping us navigate and direct our lives. You know, I've had the GPS navigate me into the wrong destination. You ever had that happen? My GPS would work in a city like London or Windsor or Toronto, and I moved to Norfolk County, and I found out that the GPS has no idea how to navigate Norfolk County, especially because there's like 4th concession on that side of Simcoe, 4th concession on that side, and then 4th concession on the other side of Jarvis, and the GPS can't. I'm like, it's like the CFL. Remember when there was 2 Rough Rider teams in the CFL? You're like, you have 9 teams. Surely you can come up with another name. Well, our GPS, when we first moved here, it would take us out to the middle of a tobacco field with like a tower in it and go, you have arrived at your destination. And we're like, well, not really. And I discovered that she never helped us get out of it. She just kept saying, you have arrived at your destination. You have arrived at your rerouting. Well, why are you going to reroute me? You didn't know where you're going in the first place, you stupid GPS. Here's the thing. The Lord didn't even give us the Bible as a GPS and leave us alone to figure it out. Because we've got the very one who authored this by breathing on men, living in us to help us interpret it, help us apply it, help us understand it. I think it would be very different if that GPS lady, because we have a woman's voice, right? I know, I think one of my kids had an Australian voice one time or something, and I'm like, nah, I want the person to speak English. Oh! We have some Australian folks in our church. It would be very different, I think, if she were sitting next to us. I think she'd be a little more diligent at getting it right. And the Holy Spirit, friends, God didn't just leave us a book and a way to go and say, you know, hope I see you at the end. He's given us someone who is with us for the journey. He will never misguide you. He will never mislead you. Secondly, we've been given Holy Spirit, and my next points are shorter than the first one. We've been given the Holy Spirit for times of trouble and persecution. You know, the Lord said 3 times, I'm going to give you a paraclete, counselor, helper, comforter, and encourager. By virtue of the very fact we've been given the Holy Spirit also signifies that there's going to be times in life when we need a helper, we need a comforter, we need an encourager, we need someone to empower our lives. How many can attest? Sometimes life can just be hard. It can be difficult. We've been given the Holy Spirit because we need help. One of the commands of Scripture is found in Hebrews 10:25. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eagerly to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day. Friends, there's a tremendous need for encouragement. I'll say that again. There's a tremendous need for encouragement. Here's the interesting thing. Encouragement doesn't mean just a sweeping approval of everything. I think we've mistaken that encouragement means that we have to endorse everything that people are doing. We've mistaken being negative or discouraging with speaking the truth. There's been just times in my role as a pastor, or just my life as a believer in the flow of life, and I've had to say to people, well, here's the problem. You're out of sync, you're out of alignment with what the scriptures say. And then they'll say, well, now you're judging me. I came here for encouragement, and you're pointing the finger at me. Encouragement is not a sweeping endorsement of everything. The Holy Spirit is our divine encourager, but he's the Spirit of what? Truth. So the Spirit of God has been given to us to encourage us in the truth and towards the truth, because it's the truth that sets us free. And you and I are called to encourage one another in the truth, towards the truth that sets us free. Doesn't mean we don't have grace, but to encourage is to fill with courage. It's to speak and come alongside someone to encourage them and stand in the truth, and all the more so as we see the days of Jesus return. So we're called to encourage, fill each other with courage in our walk with the Lord, and we're called to do it daily. So if we've been given that command by the Holy Spirit, how much more has he been given to us to do the same thing? There's times the Holy Spirit encourages me in the truth, and quite frankly, I don't want to hear it. Has he ever done that to you, Pastor Ward? You're praying for something over here, and then he says, no, Jay, you need to go and you need to say sorry to Ward. And I go, I'm not talking about Ward. I'm talking about this thing over here. I think I'd be encouraged if you fixed this. And the Holy Spirit just, no, you need to go. Why? Because he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows God's will for our lives, and he knows what will release God into our circumstances so we can live a victorious, abundant life. He is the divine encourager who fills us with courage. So if he spoke to me that way, I can come to Ward and say, Ward, I'm sorry. All right. John 15, verse 18 to 21. And then we'll read on into 26, and then 16, 1 to 4. If the world hates you, this is Jesus speaking. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if it belonged to me, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? The servant is not greater than the master. Because they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had have listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. But I will send you the advocate. That's that word again, paraclete. I will send you the advocate. Now, why the translators use the word advocate there is because advocate is one who comes alongside the side of someone who's right and defends them. So Jesus is saying, when they persecute you, you have an advocate in the Holy Spirit. He'll come alongside you, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you've been with me from the beginning of my ministry. Verse 16. I have told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith. Some say that so you won't stumble in your faith. For you will be expelled from the synagogues and the time is coming. Listen to this, that those who kill you will think they're doing a holy service for God. This is because they have never known the Father or me. Yes, I'm telling you these things now so that when they happen, you will remember my warning. I didn't tell you earlier because I was going to be with you for a while longer. You and I will be persecuted if we're going to take a stand for Jesus. I know that's not a promise we put on our fridge magnet on the door or pull it out of our little daily bread. Friends, I'm not being smart. I'm just being honest. If we're going to take a stand for Jesus, we will be persecuted. Jesus told these Jewish followers, if you follow me, you'll be turned away from the synagogues. The synagogues were the center of their social and religious and family life. In other words, people will despise you and hate you. People that you once did life with will no longer do life with you. And in fact, Jesus says that the world will become so deceived that when they persecute you, they're going to think they're on the side of God. And we're seeing this in the world right now. I never thought I'd see a day when they said that Christians in the church are the most hateful people on earth. Come on, that's what the world's saying. The world's saying that we're hateful. They think they're speaking for God. I don't care what some person on TikTok says Jesus is really like or what God is really like. The Word of God and my advocate in me tells me who God is like and what Jesus is like. And I don't need anyone else to endorse that. But if we stand on that, we will be persecuted. And the Holy Spirit is being given to us because we will need His courage and encouragement to stand unafraid and unashamed and uncompromising. Jesus told us this so we wouldn't be caught by surprise and stumble in our faith. We've been given the paraclete to stand right alongside us when we're paying the price for our faith. Matthew 13, verse 19, the Lord said, when you're arrested, don't even worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. So this is incredible. When trials or persecution come, the Holy Spirit will empower us so we can maintain our witness in every situation. When the pressure is on, I've been given the Holy Spirit so that I can maintain my integrity and that I can also let my light for Jesus shine. Ever wonder why the Lord sometimes places you in situations that seem unfair, where people are unkind and you're under pressure? It is so that your light can shine. It's so that Jesus can shine through. We have been given the internal indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit so that the gifts of the Spirit can come to the surface when everything is working against us. And when do we need patience? When we need patience. When do we need gentleness and kindness? When people aren't being gentle or kind with us. And that's that fruit of the Spirit that rises up. Listen, we've been given the Holy Spirit so that when we are under pressure, when we are on trial, when we're being persecuted, when people hate us, when people aren't being fair to us, when we're being mistreated, that we don't need to lose our integrity and respond like they do, but we can remain Christ-like, and not only Christ-like, but we can actually let our light for Jesus shine in those situations. That's why we've been given the Holy Spirit. I failed. I'm probably the only one out of the hundreds here this morning. I'm probably the only one. But I've been given the Holy Spirit so that I never need to succumb to the pressure that is on me, but so that the Holy Spirit can help me overcome that pressure and be like Christ. And He will give us what to say. Jesus said we'd receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us and we'd be His witnesses. He was speaking about the baptism of the Spirit, but everything we need to maintain our witness and never allow the enemy to defeat us or silence us or compromise is ours for the asking in the Spirit of God. When He was being crucified, Jesus looked at those that pierced His hands. He looked at those who called for His crucifixion and even then were mocking Him, saying things like, hey, if you're the Messiah, get off the cross. And they were spitting on Him. Jesus looked at the Roman soldiers who were gambling over His clothes while He was suffering in agony. And what did He say? Come on, you know what He said. He said, Father, forgive them. We've been given the Holy Spirit so that we can respond to the pressures of life like Jesus responded. Lastly, we've been given the Holy Spirit to remind us of what Jesus said and what we have in Him. All things that the Father has are mine. Because of this, I said that He, the Spirit, will take what is mine and reveal it to you. The Spirit reminds us of our inheritance in Jesus. He keeps us heaven-focused. He never wants us to get stuck in the here and now. When life is overwhelming and we're faced with battles and trials, He reminds us of the authority that's being given to us. He reminds us of what we have in Him. Last week we spoke about how the Spirit comes and He's constantly telling us, you are the righteousness of Christ. It doesn't matter what you did or how you acted, you are the righteousness of Christ. You are made right before the Father in heaven. And the Spirit is constantly turning our hearts and our minds to what we have and who we are in Jesus and what's available to us. But you know what else He's doing? Ecclesiastes says that God has put eternity in the hearts of men and women. I believe that the Lord is constantly drawing us heavenward. He's constantly, it's so easy to get stuck in the stuff down here, isn't it? I don't know about you, but it's real easy for me to get sidetracked by all the things, the good things, the bad things, the daily life. And I believe the Holy Spirit's been given to us to keep drawing us heavenward. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says that we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, because what is seen is temporary and it is shifting, but what is unseen is eternal. And that's where the Spirit is constantly drawing us. There are times that the Spirit draws me out of just the distractions or the daily things and just says, just get alone with me. I want to realign your GPS with eternity again. Man, I can't wait to see Jesus. I can't wait to see Jesus. And when I get discouraged or when I get stuck, the Holy Spirit is reminding me that there's a day coming when I will stand before him. And this life, he's my GPS that's moving me through this life. And yeah, I love life. How many love life? I love living. I'm grateful for the breath that I have, but I know there's something better coming. So on my worst day or my best day, I know that this life is not the end, but there's eternity coming. And this life is just a blink of the eye, and the Spirit is constantly drawing me heavenward. So I never get discouraged, I never get stuck, and I never throw away my faith for something temporary. And that's what he does every time we pray, every time we gather, every time we worship or read his word. You know, there was these missionaries. I'm just going to close, we're going to pray, we're going to dismiss you to go. I just, honestly, I'm really, really grateful that you're here today. I know the fans are noisy, the floors are uncomfortable, but I'm glad you're here, because the church isn't the building or the room we meet in. You're the church. And the word of the Lord tells us, all the more so we should gather and encourage one another the closer Jesus comes. So I'm glad you're here. There was these two missionaries, I don't know when it was, 30s, 40s, 50s, but it was a time before commercial flights, and they had gone overseas for years. And, you know, now missionaries, even though they pay a great price to go to another land, there are things like Zoom and flights, and there's more accessibility. But these were people who, when they left their family and their homes, they left, and sometimes for decades, never returned. They wrote letters. And after many, many decades of serving Jesus in a foreign land and a foreign culture, they were making their way home by ship. It was a weeks and weeks long trip, and they were tired, but they were looking forward to seeing their family and retiring at home, and they were getting close to the New York Harbor. And on their boat was a great American dignity, a great dignitarian, a great celebrity in America who I think was just over in Europe doing work. And as they got close to the New York Harbor, they heard noise and sound and saw a great crowd, and they realized that the great crowd was there, and there was a band playing, and there was banners up, and the banners and the band and all that were there to welcome home the dignitary. They'd only been away for a few months. And the man turned to his wife and he just said, you know, here we are, we've given decades of our lives to sharing the gospel, being faithful to the Holy Spirit's witness and serving Jesus, and no one even knows or cares that we're home. And his wife, prompted by the Holy Spirit and just some wisdom, just leaned into him a little bit and put her arm around him. She said, honey, we're not home yet. Take time like we did this morning to just be in his presence, even for just a moment. He's your divine encourager. He's your helper. He's the one that fills you with courage. If you're walking into a workplace where you get anxious, you start getting anxious Sunday night because of what is going to face with you Monday, take time to come into the presence of your divine encourager, your helper, and say, just let your love bathe over me, because I know there's no fear in love. And if you're discouraged, let the divine encourager remind you, you're not home yet. If you feel that what you do is unnoticed and you're praying prayers and you're fighting on behalf of people that don't even want you to fight for them, let the Holy Spirit fill you with courage and remind you, you're not home yet. If you feel weak, if you feel in your spirit that you're weary and you're tired and you're just getting from day to day, find yourself throughout your day in the presence of the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, Paraclete, I just need your ministry. That has become something that I pray quite often. I just say, Holy Spirit, I just need your ministry right now. I just need your ministry. And he comes alongside me because he's already in me. And he helps me. And more often than not, I feel his presence come on me, but I feel his life rise up within me. Why? Because he's in me. Let's stand together. Jesus, we've been given so much. We're 2 weeks away from Easter, Lord, and we've been given so much. From you. Thank you, Jesus, for Calvary. Think of Pastor Dan who said, if you're not here today and you don't know Jesus, what's stopping anyone in this room, Jesus, from receiving what you bought and paid for with your own death on the cross? So, Lord, we thank you for making all things available through your life and through your death and your resurrection. This morning, Jesus, we're particularly thankful for Holy Spirit, for his ministry, for his indwelling life and presence, for his help, for his advocacy, for his comfort, for his direction, for his power. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that even now you're with us. Thank you that when we gather, we can feel you and sense you, and that's so precious to us. But Lord, you're always with us. You are ever abiding, indwelling presence of God in our lives. And we thank you for that. So I pray you would remind us. You said, Jesus, that the Spirit would remind us of the words that you said. Well, I pray, Holy Spirit, that anything that is of me, may everyone forget. But that which is of you and your word this morning, I pray you'd bring it to our remembrance in our time of need. Whether it's uncertainty, whether it's trial, or whether it's just that we need encouragement, we thank you that you are with us, that you're going with us. And so now I pray in the name of Yahweh, God Almighty, creator of heavens and earth, and in the name of his son Jesus, the name that's been given that is above every name, and the fellowship and ministry and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit would go with each one today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you are blessed and encouraged by the message today.